soon. 10 seconds.
I can do it. You can do it.
Meow. I got a cat.
Where'd it go?
What do you got, Jeremy?
Woof, woof, woof.
This is Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Podbay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus ceruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 420 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can y'all feel it? Is it working?
I feel it.
I can totally feel it.
Like you're on the radio. I can totally
feel it. Yeah.
Okay, go on.
The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOTTON no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOTT.org. Ew, governments. Ew.
Bad touch. Bad touch.
Gertie. Ew. Gives me the heebie-jeebies.
So, hello. How are you tonight, Diana?
Hello, I'm good. What happened to Michael?
I don't know. He ran away. I haven't got place to talk. Away.
He was droned.
He's like, just talk, guys.
Okay.
I was checking the feed to make sure that our volumes are as reported.
Okay.
I'm doing my own sound check. I'm doing all God's work. I was doing God's work with Jeremy before the show. I was trying to help him. Yeah, I was trying to. We were late getting on. I was trying to help him do some port forwarding, some weird kind of internet stuff, and then find out why some drivers aren't downloading. And I was team viewing, not teen view. That's Ian Freeman. I use team viewer. Team viewer is how I get into Jeremy's head and into his computer. And it was like, I was almost there. I was just almost there. It was like, come on, baby, just one more minute. Just, I know I'm going to, you know how, like, when there's back in the day when there were powders involved and, you know, you thought you could do it, but you couldn't.
When there were what involved?
Powders.
Powder.
White powder. No, it's not white, power. Not white power.
I didn't hear you say white powder.
I said white powder. Yeah. Yeah. It's been 22 years. But, you know, that stuff, you couldn't get me out of, like, what I was trying to do. You know, like, stay up all night and dismantle the car. That kind of mentality. And
right.
I had tickets to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Nirvana at... And the Luna Chicks at the Cow Palace in San Francisco on New Year's Eve, 1990 probably, with backstage passes. And nice. I was too busy in my room to like leave. Like I was doing something alone.
What?
To the point where I like...
That's a hate crime.
That is a hate crime. Like backstage passes at Nirvana and Chili Peppers and Luna Chicks... L7, I forget who it was. It was the Bosnian refugee rape awareness benefit. If you want to Google that happened. And I just couldn't get out of my room. And we had a mirror in there and stuff and fabrics and powders and I was supposed to go with my roommate. You know, I was going to take him and so I wouldn't open the door, but I slipped the tickets and my driver's license under the door and he went and pretended to be me and took someone else. So yeah, I missed it.
Bummer. Yeah. That's a very sad story, actually.
Yeah. The two times I could have seen Nirvana, I did not. There was one time, I did see him do a sound check way before they were finished, but they played at this club I worked at called the Covered Wagon, the CW Saloon in San Francisco. And, you know, the place that held like 100 people. But, you know, if Nirvana or Gigi Allen were playing, they'd pack 300 in there. And I saw Nirvana like 2 minutes of them doing a sound check when I was down picking up my check. I didn't even pay attention. I was just like, wow, loud band. It's really good. All right. I'll just, you know, go get my check and get out of here and go buy some drugs. And that's what you did back then. Yeah. The two times I didn't see Nirvana was because of drugs. Come to think of it. Yeah. That's fitting.
Yeah. It is kind of fitting.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there were people who like, yeah, man, I saw Nirvana. I was so wasted. How about this? I was so dedicated to getting wasted. I missed Nirvana once at a club show that would have been like epic. And then once at like, you know, one of their epic stadium shows. So there. Don't do drugs, mm-hmm. kids. You'll miss Nirvana. That's my anti-drug ad.
A little late for that.
Don't do drugs. You'll miss something historic that you could tell your grandkids about. Don't do drugs.
That's a bumper sticker that could go beyond music right there.
I know. Don't do drugs.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's like it's true on many levels, potentially. Well,
here, I'll do my other anti-drug ad. I just wrote one. Okay, kids, don't take speed. Speed will turn you into the cops.
Ooh.
Same thing could be said. It could also be an anti-steroid ad, but you know, I don't know. Speed makes you want to beat people up, so cops have been known to beat people up. Yeah,
I don't know. I don't think I ever did straight speed, but anytime I did anything like that, all I ever wanted to do was clean. I never had any interest in beating anybody up.
How many speed freaks does it take to clean now. An apartment? 1 1/4. One.
But I'm bump.
I changed my mind. I said on a show recently that if I died, the Fiends can't go on without me because of Jeremy's horrible audio. But I've changed my mind about that. As long as Jeremy makes, you know, does what I tell him to, and if I die, you guys can still do the Fiends.
Oh, I have almost redeemed myself. Apparently,
I like how you said if I die.
If I ever die,
well, you know, there's absolutely, you know, only Sith steal an absolute, so you don't want to make that. You don't know if he's gonna die. You know,
right,
he could live true. Forever.
Only what's an absolute truth?
I said only Sith steal an absolute. Like, from Star Wars.
Don't know what that is. I don't like Star. I don't watch Star Trek, man. I don't know what you're talking about.
That too. But you know, the singularity is supposed to be coming soon, so you never know.
Yeah. I mean, just because every human that's ever lived has died doesn't mean that I'm gonna.
Yeah, I mean, it's a statistical probability. But,
it's an extraordinary statistical probability. But, you know,
there's always a chance.
Yeah.
You know, with the advancements in technology and in the medical field and brilliant, nutty people like, you know, Ray Kurzweil.
Yeah, Ray Kurzweil. Yeah. You know, and what I didn't talk about when I was talking about Ray Kurzweil last night about what a visionary is he also suffers from this thing that a lot of extraordinarily intelligent people suffer from, which is thinking that there not only needs to be a one world government, but that they need to be in charge of it.
Right.
You know, they're kind of like, who are the
philosopher
people
kings?
Yeah, well, who are the losers on the internet who think that a computer should run everything?
Oh, the
Venus Project
economy. Yeah, the Venus Project, the resource-based economy. Guys.
Well, the guy who runs that actually like constantly cyber begs for a new computer because his is always broken, and he lives with his parents. I think he has a horrible computer, but Ray Kurzweil, like, you know, is a multi-billionaire probably who owns computer companies, so like he literally could probably build the computer that could run the resource-based economy. But you know, I when I think of people who have that mentality, like not the losers like the Venus Project and people who like them, but like people like Kurzweil who actually like have the resources and the connections and the money to like approach doing that kind of thing. I think of Miles Dyson on Terminator 2. Do you know who Miles Dyson was?
Oh,
the Miles.
He was the guy that had the arm.
Yeah. The black scientist. Yeah. Why does he have to be black? Because, he's, you know,
black scientists matter.
Brilliant scientist who, you know, working in the fields, the same fields that Kurzweil's working in, who, like, you know, just wants to feed his family and do his job and take home a paycheck and use his multiple PhDs. And he's the guy that ends up creating Skynet.
Yeah. Skynet's a good thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's Kurzweil, man.
That's the theme of, I think, how the you're not going to know this either, probably, but the recent Marvel Avengers movies, that's the arc they're taking with the Wunderkind Tony Stark, and he starts to realize that all the good he tries to do ends up destroying the world instead.
Iron Man. Is that my boy?
Yes, my boy? Yes, your boy.
Hubert. Yes, your boy.
Not
yes,
Hubert.
Your boy, Robert.
Yeah, my boy, Robert. Yeah, I directed him in a movie once.
I know you did.
Doing narration.
It's very cool.
I gave him one line of direction. Yeah, it was good. It was fun.
I'm so jealous. Anyway.
I like him a lot.
He's great.
Is there any way that you can introduce us?
No, I couldn't even contact him now if I wanted to. You know, after that movie
Why,
came out,
the restraining order hasn't run out yet.
No, there's no restraining order. But every filmmaker, like every no budget filmmaker I ever met, by this when that movie had come out, was like all of a sudden like remembered my email address and phone number and wanted to be my buddy and were trying to get me to like forward a script to him or something.
Oh, of course.
Yeah,
that's how that type of stuff works. I know that. You know, my sister's been in the acting business forever. It's the same, you know, it's the same.
She's actually successful. Yeah, she's
she's mildly successful. She should be a lot more successful.
She's pretty successful for she's a pretty successful that girl actor. You know that phrase? Yeah. The that guy actor? Like the people who are never the star, but they always have some good lines and they're, you know, rememberable. Yeah. She's one of them. There's actually
there are no small parts, only small actors.
There's a documentary about those actors. It's called Who was that guy who was in that thing? You know, that guy who was in that thing.
Yeah, I remember like that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah, she is. That's her. But no, I was just saying, no, being around her and now her husband, who's, you know, on the producing side of it. It's the same way. Everybody, you get that one little in with somebody and all these people you'd never hear from before all of a sudden are at your door.
What's the character she's known for? What's his name? Sister?
Sheldon
Cooper's
sister.
Yeah, Missy Cooper.
Missy Cooper. Yeah.
Did you get her to hold a flag, Bipcot flag yet?
No, but she's coming home. She's coming back within the next couple of weeks, I believe. I'm going to grab her while she's here.
Well, like, is she going to be on any more episodes? Maybe they could do like the Bipcot flag for Fun with Flags.
No, she's not.
She's been banned from that show.
I know why she's not on it. I have a theory.
She's been banned?
I told my theory. My theory
is that Galecki tried to nail her and she said no, and that's why they brought her back.
That's what I always said. I ran that by my other sister and she didn't deny it, but she was, you know.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
So it's the only thing that makes sense. Why would you not bring back the twin sister of the lead character?
I know. And it was like for someone who basically had like six lines, I mean, it was maybe 10 lines in one show. Know. She was extraordinarily popular.
Oh, mm-hmm. there's that was this what the end of the first season, beginning of the second season, something like that. And there, how many seasons in now? She's still. I think I've said this before. Just last year, she came back home to do a signing.
Yep.
As for Missy Cooper.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
I was making fun of pillow ads.
You're a pillow pusher. That's what you are, a pillow pusher.
Jimmy is a pillow pusher.
Well, it's better a pillow pusher than a pillow anyway. So we are back.
Wow. I know what you were thinking.
Pillow biter.
Yeah. You said it, not me, Michael.
And it's his show.
Exactly.
Yeah, so Jeremy wanted to make fun of some policemen's feelings today, but I said it's a dangerous time to do that. What happened? Give us the short story.
There was a number of stories I found about, you know, police officers.
Why do you hate freedom?
I don't know, because it stinks when it's the freedom they serve up over here. So I'm not a big fan of it. But there was a couple of stories of, there was one
Where?
Story.
Where, at your house?
No, in Alabama, I believe, where an officers were refused service at a Taco Bell. And the story went with like the chief from whatever precinct that was saying, there's an investigation being done. Like, they're seriously investigating the fact that
I was just going to say, it was a Taco Bell, because I heard about another restaurant too, I think maybe in Ohio or something, that said that they were no longer going to serve law enforcement officers.
Well, this wasn't this. No, yeah, no. See, this. But this apparently, the district manager of the particular Taco Bell was also
story
and said that it's not a company wide policy, and they're looking into it too. Which that makes sense if they
that
want
makes
to make
total sense. Yeah, I mean, I think if anybody who refuses anyone service who works at a chain is probably going to get fired, and Shane and the local manager has every right to do that. But you know, there was one a few years ago that was there was this anarcho-communist, you know, the bad kind of anarchist, not the anarcho-capitalists, not the good kind, I guess. Mm-hmm. The kind that but you know, we'll put it this way: it was like the least egregious of that kind of communist ever. It was, first of all, it was people that actually had a job. A lot of anarcho-communists, you know, who say workers of the world unite, have never worked a day in their life. These were people that had a co-op owned coffee shop in or donuts, you know, they sold muffins and coffee and stuff and breakfast burritos or whatever in a
cafe.
Yeah. A cafe in, it's called the Red and Black Cafe, I think, even, which is, you know, ANCOM flag color. So right. Red and Black Cafe in Portland, Oregon, had a store Portlandia policy. Like, you know, they had like a, yeah, that's just pretty accurate. Like, you know, you could totally see a worker run communist, you know, breakfast cafe in that show. And it's real. It is. That is how that place is. So these people actually they had a meeting, and like all the co-owners, which is all the employees, had a meeting and decided to not serve law enforcement. And this was like 5 years ago. This wasn't recent, or maybe 4 years ago. And it made national news. Like, you know, the local NBC or ABC affiliate came and interviewed him about it. And they were like, well, you know, police are the violent arm of the state. And without them, politicians have no power, and we don't want to serve them. And like, that's gutsy. And it went national. And my friend, my anarcho-capitalist friend, saw that and said, I hate commies, but I hate cops more. Go commie go. Go commie go, was his comment.
Yeah. Well, here, here. But that was the second story I had was actually more like that. And it was this place, it's listed as an Asian restaurant on Facebook. I don't know whether it's Chinese or Japanese. It's called the Lucky Teriyaki Restaurant. That's what it's listed on his Facebook. They don't have a designation. But it's in, Cedro Woolley, Washington. And apparently they are.
That's what I was talking about. Yeah, that's exactly what I was talking about. Yeah,
they're not a chain. They're a private establishment. And
I'm laughing because I'm thinking about. Do you guys read The Oatmeal?
Yes, I love The Oatmeal. Yes.
It's the thing in The Oatmeal where it talks about how, like, in a big city, you'll have, like, you know, seven different Asian restaurants, like one of each cuisine, like Japanese, Chinese, Thai, you know. Laotian, you know, but it's like in small towns, you'll have like one that does all Asian food. And, and the name of it in the drawing he has is the Diarrhea Dragon.
That's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
This particular place, like I said, as a team, they decided that they didn't want to, serve cops anymore. And because of it, the cops and the cops sycophants descended on their Facebook page and made their ratings plummet. You know, they had a very high rating somewhere. Like, it's, I think a 5 is the tops on Facebook. They had like a 4.8 or something like that. And it's down to like a 1.3 just because all these negative comments by cops and their little fanboys.
You know, it's funny. The sycophants always say, like, well, you know, don't call the cops when you get broken into. It's like, I'd prefer not to call the cops if I get broken into.
Call cell 411.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
And go on the sidebar of the Freedom Fiend site. We now have Amazon links for Amazon US, Amazon UK, and Amazon Canada due to popular demand. Worms.
Now we're out on air. You know that, right? You guys need to look at your clocks. Because otherwise we sound like
I was wired.
I didn't hear the music at first.
You didn't clock. I was looking at my clock.
Good clock.
Yes. Do you have an accurate clock? Do you have an atomic radio clock?
I had the one that was created for us to use.
No, do you have like an atomic radio clock? They're like $15 on Amazon.
And I don't, but I'll buy one.
They sync up to a radio transmitter that's literally in your town for the whole nation.
Okay.
Mine doesn't sync up very well.
Because you're so far away from hers, but hers is so, she's so close to it that it'll probably like melt. I don't know, maybe not. So,
oh, that's right, it's out in her neighborhood, right?
Yeah, you know, so you know how we have a segment sometime called I Was Wrong. When I realize I said something wrong on a show. And I do it because
one of my favorite segments ever.
Yeah, because I like to admit I'm pretty full of myself. Like in the next segment, I'm going to talk about how like this person who's famous for all the wrong reasons is influenced by my audio advice, and people are going to say, "No, it's, you're just imagining that." But I'm pretty full of myself. But I do like to say when I was wrong. It humbles me. You know, I need to humble once in a while. So, but I'm going to do.
Everybody does.
Yeah. But I'm going to do a new segment tonight. It's called I'm Going to Be Wrong. So. I got a snort out of Diana.
A preemptive wronging. That's great. Yeah.
I will be wrong this coming Saturday at 1 p.m. East Coast time.
It's like it's a Minority Report on your incorrectness.
I know.
I apologize.
It's a future hate crime of bad audio. No, it's not bad audio.
I apologize in advance for what I'm about to do, but
it can't. The clock can't be turned back. So last night I did an episode, pre-recorded episode with Jeremy and Derek J. Is that correct?
Sure, if you want to call it an episode, some may call it an intervention, I don't know.
Oh yeah, it was Derek J defending the indefensible, basically a bunch of libertarians that, it's a list of five libertarians that every libertarian who hears it is going to agree with us that at least four of them are lunatics and not to be trusted, but at least one of them, and it'll be different for every person, they'll be like, hey, that guy's okay. That's how it works. But that wasn't the whole show.
No, it wasn't, but that's actually pretty funny. Is there a picture of Derek and Walter Block together?
Defending the indefensible.
That would be the
Well, I put that in the show notes. I said Derek defends the indefensible. But, okay, so it wasn't just about that. We got into a bunch of deep stuff. And at one point, I was talking about Nirvana for a change. And I was talking about Steve Albini. You know what I did not mention about Steve Albini? Okay, Steve Albini has given interviews about the fact that his lineage is, he's Albanian, and his last name means of Albania. So his name is, like, if you were from here, his name would be Steve Merka, you know? So Steve Albini,
Albini sounds a lot better than Steve
Merka. I said the wrong thing. I said that he engineered the Nirvana record Incesticide. That's incorrect. Incesticide is a collection of like B-sides and greatest hits and live stuff. He engineered In Utero was the name of the record.
Okay.
Which you have heard of. You haven't heard of the other one, probably. No,
I've
heard of both.
I had Incesticide at one point.
Mm-hmm. But he did In Utero. And I remember that they had to remix Heart-Shaped Box because that was like the hit, and his mixing of it was too harsh for commercial radio because he's so punk, I guess. But So I remembered that this morning, and I looked it up, and I was like, yeah, I said that wrong. So I tried to go through and find the part, and I spent about 5 minutes, because it's a long episode. It's like an hour and 45 minutes. It's going to be actually be like two, that and my my episode I did, interview I did with some people in South America recently.
Oh, yeah.
It will be the second radio episode. So that's going to be a radio episode and a half. And then that other episode will be in there for the second week. But it's going to be one podcast this Saturday, like an hour and 45 minutes, which is long for the podcast. And there's no like music or intros or outros in it. It's just us talking. And it was my test of Fiendbot 3000, the public version, which is almost ready. And it worked. So, but yeah, I couldn't find it. And I was like, I'm not going to spend an hour and 40 minutes finding this. I'll just say, I'm going to be wrong.
Oh, that's very big of you, Michael.
Yeah, thank you. I like bigamy. I mean, it's bigamy. I like being big. Wait, what? Okay. So this guy, Gavin Long, shot some police in Baton Rouge, which means red stick. I think they call it that because after they beat people, the cops with their billy clubs are red sticks. That's why it's called Baton Rouge.
Oh, too soon.
Yep. Too soon. I've been to Baton Rouge. You ever been to Baton Rouge, you guys?
I have, yeah.
I have not, unfortunately.
I showed my
basically
movie
in and out
DIY or died there in the year 2001 or 2002. Yep. At a community center. I should have like brought the races together. I should have like fixed it. But you know, really,
see, Michael,
the only way to fix it.
So it's all your fault.
Well, it's not my fault, but I could have saved it, but I didn't bother. So, no, the thing is, it's all about all the police shootings. I don't agree with them. We don't agree with them. I can speak for all of us here, but can I? You don't think it's a good idea?
No, it's definitely not a very.
It's not going to advance liberty or
no.
Peace
it's
or anything.
It does not. It does not. It has a deleterious effects.
Yeah, and Diana, you agree with that, right?
Sure.
Wow. Okay, so no, I'll say it for all of us since you're sounding wishy-washy.
Not wishy-washy, really? Just in all honesty, and I've said this before, I don't necessarily feel bad for them and their, you know, what happened.
I don't feel surprised, is what I'll say.
Yeah.
That too. I don't, and it's unfortunate, but it's, you know, it's
so finish your thought, Jeremy.
You can only push so far, but no, I think it's a very bad tactically, and it's just going it's going to make things worse on the whole for everybody.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not there's so many ways to go about it without directly attacking them.
But it's absolutely expected. I'm not surprised
at all. It's fallout from the war on drugs and from the war on drugs has led to cops looking at everybody as the enemy, and a lot of cops you know, a lot of it too is like the military mentality. I mean, it's not to support our troops, but a lot of these shooters lately are military vets. Like this guy, Gavin Long, was a Marine, and the last shooter last week was he an Army Ranger? Was it Army something? He's a military guy. That guy Dorner, the cop that killed the cops in L.A., he was ex-military. Like the guy that shot at the Navy Yard was a military contractor. Like, I don't know, man.
Well, go ahead, Diana.
Bringing the war home. I mean, I think we've talked about this before. I mean, last show that we did together talked about, I mean, that's essentially what happens.
Well, that's a dangerous phrase to use. I think that's a dangerous phrase to use because that was a battle cry of the Weather Underground. In the Vietnam War, like the people that were blowing up recruitment centers and killing people with bombs, they said, we're bringing the war home. So I don't like to use that phrase even to describe what's happening. And I think it's more complex than that. I think people have different motivations.
Yeah. Well, this guy in particular, I mean, I do think that that he definitely had a different motivation for what.
You know what's weird? I think this is the first of many that we're going to see of crazy shooters that have usually these people, you know, they have some like nutty YouTube videos and they might
write a manifesto or something, but this guy had a body of work. Mm-hmm. And he's the first
the
one I've
seen. Cosmo way.
Yeah. And, I mean, yeah. He was like, you know, called himself like a, what do they call those people that tell people how to live?
Guru.
Life coach.
No, life coach.
A life coach.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, and he had books on Amazon, published, you know, self-published books on Amazon. And he had a bunch of videos that were like, really, you know, they were nutty in what they were saying should happen, but they were coherent. They didn't come off like, you know, that kid that shot the women in San Diego and then stabbed some dudes or whatever. That guy, the like rich kid.
He liked the pickup artist methodology as well.
Yeah,
we're
gonna talk about that later too. But yeah. Was this guy into that? Was Gavin Long?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I have no idea. I haven't found out much about him.
But he's the first one I've seen like in modern times of like someone had shot a bunch of people and then was killed who like, you know, had a body of work and presented himself like, you know, it's kind of weird.
So his real name is Gavin, because on Amazon here, it says his name is Cosmo Setapenra.
Yeah, it's his pen name.
Okay. Yeah.
Gavin Long was his name. He's from Oklahoma City. So here's the creepy weird part. I think he may have read some of my audio advice on the internet and taken it. And that would be crazy.
He has great audio.
He has great audio. Great too. Audio. Yeah, like most people that do, you know, that do these wing nutty acts like have bad audio, but he actually had good audio. But here's the thing. He's in his YouTube videos. He's using the mic stand that I recommend, and a foam windscreen, and has it right up near his mouth, which like nobody does. You know, I mean, it's a commercially available mic. Other people buy this mic, but they usually put it on a table stand next to them. It's not a very popular mic. Everybody gets the Yeti, which sucks, but he got this Audio Technica. You know, I think he read like, you know, the Creamy Radio Audio How to Audio Advice Guide. And the thing that makes me think that's possible is like his world wasn't completely partitioned off from ours, because he had a Adam Kokesh video on his site. And Derek, like our co-host Derek J used to live in Adam Kokesh's house. Like they, you know, he was complaining last night that Adam Kokesh owed him money. And this is true. This is a fact. So the Venn diagram of like his black African nationalist crazy shooting people crazy world, you know, like somewhere like 1% of 1% like overlaps the Venn diagram of like Freedom Fiends co-host audio stuff.
Okay.
I just hope he wasn't a fan of my DVD, Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle. But I don't think he'd have to be, because he was a Marine. The Marines are like the gun.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you tired of stinky socialists trying to take over America?
And are you also tired of theorists talking about the free market as a cure-all for every problem with no firsthand experience of how the market actually works?
Well, the Truth, Justice, American Way app gives you wall-to-wall shows by hosts who not only understand the market, but tell you how they make money in a variety of patriotic endeavors.
The Truth, Justice, American Way app for Android is 24/7 streaming audio content on the topics of finance, liberty, self-defense, and technology.
All the hosts are all American Americans from all over America.
And the app is made in Wyoming, the cowboy state.
Because you should buy American, even with free Android apps.
Truth, Justice, American Way. Useful information, compelling personalities, and superior American audio quality.
Go on the Google Play Store or the Amazon App Store and search Truth, Justice, American Way.
God bless each and every one of you, and God bless America.
Meow, meow, meow. So we're talking about this fella, Gavin Long, also known as Cosmo Setapenra. Caracas.
Yeah, the guy that shot the police in Baton Rouge. He was not from Baton Rouge. He was from from Oklahoma City. We are on the radio in Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. Not saying there's a connection. Just I think
no connection whatsoever.
I think he took some audio advice from one of my websites, but that's neither here nor there. Mm-hmm. You know what? It's I really hate it when I make a connection of like, you know, there might be a connection here, and people say, "Oh, you're crazy." Here's the best example of it being crazy that someone tells me I'm crazy for this. When I first got sober, I was working on my list of resentments with my sponsor, my fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth step. It all ties together. It's all kind of one big step if you really know what you're doing. So I was making my list of resentments, and one of them was Warner Brothers, because my band had been on Warner Brothers, and they dumped us, you know, unceremoniously after one record. They didn't even tell us we were dumped. Like, we learned it from our manager, who read it in, you know, not Variety magazine. What's the Cashbox? Billboard magazine.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he read it there. One of the things I was upset about was, okay, in the movie Demolition Man, on Sandra Bullock's office wall, there is a poster of my band Bomb that has my face on it, and it's awesome. Her character is like nostalgic for the rough and tumble 20th century, and one of the examples is that poster on her wall. And there's a point where the character, one of the other cops, is teasing her about her nostalgia for the rough and tumble 20th century, and he's pointing at the things on her wall, and he says, you're addicted to nostalgia, you're hooked on the 20th century. And he motions with his arm twice, and he points at my face when he says addicted, and he points at my face when he says hooked. And part of the reason we got kicked off of Warner, and it was a Warner Brothers movie, part of the reason we got kicked off Warner Brothers was because I was a heroin addict. Now, it was probably a coincidence, but it seemed to me like maybe they were poking fun of me. Like, you know, because this guy, played by Benjamin Bratt, says addicted and hooked and points at me both times. Now, I told my sponsor this, and he basically said, you're crazy. You're an egomaniac. You're thinking things are more important than they are. As if my face wasn't actually in the movie, which it is, you know?
Yeah.
Like if that's going to be a reality, how much weirder would it be if there was a little in-joke about it? Not much. Like, the bigger weird thing is that I'm in the movie. You know, the smaller distance to go is that might have been a joke. But I think it was accidental. But look at that movie again when you see it. And Benjamin Bratt points at my face and says, addicted. And then points at my face again and says, hooked. It's kind of cute.
All right.
So I didn't build this guy's audio, but I've never seen anyone who's not a Freedom Fiend using this exact setup in a YouTube video.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And I watched, I definitely watched a couple of his videos, and it's just, I'm having a really difficult time making.
He sounds like Chris Cantwell, but really polite.
But polite. But I'm, you know, at the very least,
and
I'm
he's
like.
And he's a doer instead of just a talker. Oh.
Right. And Jeremy? And then at the same time, it's like I'm having a hard time making a connection between this guy I'm seeing talking and his books and everything. And, obviously I'm not saying I agree with everything he says. I mean, there's some things that are like, yeah, sure. Okay. That makes sense. But between this guy and the person who like murdered these cops or like was one of the ones that, I think they said there were more suspects. I'm having a hard time making a connection between like them being the same person.
Well, I wonder, like, how hard...
It's kind of sad.
How hard it would be these days to be the guy from the... One of the people from the government whose job is to try to analyze this torrent of data that pours on the internet every second and look for the next lone wolf guy. I think it's impossible, because I've read 1,000 things lately of people who sound like they're about to do something, and none of them will, you know? And he didn't really sound like he was gonna, but he did talk about like the time for protesting is over, you know.
Yeah.
He talked about that kind of stuff. So I think everyone should just love each other and quit arresting everyone for non-crimes.
Yeah.
Well,
victimless crimes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It goes a long way. Yeah, exactly.
The world would be a much happier place.
We'll be back in hour two to talk about pickup artists' techniques.
Worms.
Worms. Can you start that other computer back up?
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Tried to find you guys in the break, but you'd run away.
From your That's garden awesome. Of dreams, many things will blossom in bed.
Is this your fortune cookie?
My fortune cookie fortune, yeah.
Chlamydia, gonorrhea.
No, those are not in my dreams.
Those don't blossom in your bed.
No.
Those used to blossom in my bed, which is why we're going to talk about being a pickup artist here pretty soon. Back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, I was going to say one more thing about this shooter. These shooters, all these people going nuts and shooting people. And a lot of them are ex-military. A lot of cops are ex-military too, man, these days. Of the people shot in Dallas by that other shooter who was ex-military, over half of the cops that were shot, not just the ones who were killed, but the ones who were shot, over half of them were ex-military. I saw a list and it listed like, you know, we wanted to make you feel bad, like because they'd served or something. So they said like valiant awards for, you know, killing babies or something, brown babies. So here's the thing about the military. Any military. I'm not picking on you, America. any military in the world, anywhere throughout history. So it is not intuitive to murder people. It is not intuitive to kill people. You know, even people who like carry a gun and are willing to shoot in self-defense, you know, who have shot people in self-defense, they have nightmares about it. They often, you know, it affects them for life if people kill people, or it should, if they're unless they're a sociopath. So basically what basic training in any military in the world, in any country, any time in history, basically what basic training is, other than teaching blind obedience, is dehumanizing the enemy.
Right.
Yep.
And teaching people that it's okay to kill when told to. Because it's not intuitive. It is not, you know, most people would hesitate if they're told to kill. You know, they'd be either like, no, or why, or well, maybe, but let's talk about, you know, like military basic training in any country in the world throughout history, you know, is training people to turn off the part of the human brain that may, you know, the thing that separates us from animals. You know, animals can kill on the drop of a dime for all sorts of different reasons, you know, generally for food, but also
survival,
but also if they feel threatened, you know.
Right.
People generally don't do that. People generally will, and animals will run, people will run, but you know, there's other options generally than ending the life of something that scares you. And, you know, military's
take people to countries where, what was it that Muhammad Ali said, you know, no Viet Cong ever called me N-word.
Right.
He didn't want to fight, and he was not a pacifist. Like, I think, you know, he would have fought to defend his family. I'm pretty sure of it.
They didn't do anything to him.
Yeah, especially a boxer mindset is kind of similar to a soldier mindset. It's boxers can kill each other. Boxers have killed each other in the ring, and they often damage the other person, you know, permanently. So boxers have a fighting mindset. But he didn't want to go fight, you know, for the white man or for Wall Street or whatever. Just he didn't want to go kill people he didn't know, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. That had never done anything to him.
So military training is training all these people to go somewhere and kill when told. And when they come back, that's part of what PTSD is,
right?
Is not being able to turn that off. And part of what PTSD is too, like one thing that's not said a lot is that a lot more Americans now, American military people, are committing suicide when they come home than are dying on the battlefield.
On average, it's 22 per day.
Yeah, 22 per day to like how many per day are dying in the battlefield? Like one?
I'm not exactly sure. Yeah,
it's like some double digit difference.
Right.
And that's, you know, a lot of that's because, like, you know, they go over there and they do these horrific things or see these horrific things and then come back and are injured and then like are dealing with government insurance, you know, the
VA and stuff. Yeah.
And, you know, after years of that, that's when a lot of them kill themselves, is they've been injured and they've been dealing with the VA for years and years and years. So,
it's very sad.
Yeah. That's one reason that, you know, I mean, a lot of people that have killed a lot of people on American soil have been soldiers. That guy that climbed up in the clock tower.
Charlie Watts.
Yeah. And isn't he referenced in Full Metal Jacket? Doesn't Gunny talk about, I want to tell you about what one motivated Marine and his rifle can do when he puts his mind to it. And he either references him or the guy that supposedly shot JFK. One of them. They were both Marines, I think.
Yep.
Weren't they?
He was definitely in the service somewhere. I can't remember. I think it was the Marine.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's wrong. Charlie Watts is a drummer for Rolling Stones.
Oh, okay.
It's Charlie something. Wait, I'll find it.
Charlie Whitman.
Yep.
Sampler. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Charles Whitman.
My dad actually went to high school with that guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
I don't know any crazy people.
I know plenty.
I mean, unless you count, like, you know, Natalie Merchant from the 10,000 Maniacs, but, you know.
You know her, really?
I went to college with her, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I used to go see...
Yeah. I saw her in concert.
I used to go see them in bars all the time, but it's neither here nor there. Go on.
I was going to say, you don't know any crazy people? There's nothing but crazy people in the circles that we travel in.
I block the crazy people people.
Well, crazy, I guess, in terms of the way society views us.
I don't know anyone who shot a bunch of people. I do, though, actually...
See?
So I lived with this house I lived in college with these people. After I left that house and moved to DC, one of the childhood friends of someone in the house was doing a bunch of speed and drinking, and he was Christian, and the guys in the house used to joke about being Satanists. They weren't really Satanists. They were just heavy metalheads and punk rockers that liked to scare Christians. But he decided that they were... He went into the house with a shotgun and killed all of them.
Oh, my goodness.
No, he killed one of them, and, like, three of them ran out the house. Like, two of them jumped out a second-floor window, and one of them, like, broke his leg and hobbled down the street. And the guy killed his childhood friend, who used to be in my band. And then he... This is, like, the part that's, like, out of a movie. And this happened. You can look this up. Even though it's before the internet, it's, like, there's stuff about this. The movie part is that after he shot the guy, he went to an all-night diner, and, you know, this is before cell phones and anything like that. He went to an all-night diner and ordered a cup of cocoa. It was wintertime. He drank the cup of hot cocoa, and he was the only person in there besides the waitress. And then he said, can I use the phone, please? And he she said, yeah, he called 911 and he said, I want to turn myself in. I just killed a satanic drug dealer. And then he just sat there and waited for the police to pick him up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yep. That guy's crazy. And that guy's still in a mental hospital. He went to prison for 20 years and then now he's in a mental hospital. So I guess I do know a crazy person that he tried to shoot a bunch of people and he would have shot me if I were there, if I hadn't gotten out. So I'm lucky.
Yeah. Well, there's crazy people everywhere. I actually know quite a few.
Yeah. I try to avoid them. The insane have always loved me, as William Burroughs once said.
Well, you know, it's debatable whether I was borderline insane for a while, so, you know.
I'm completely sane and happy.
Well, I'm very happy for you, Michael.
For the record. For the record. For the medical record, yes.
All crazy people think they're sane, Michael.
That's exactly what a crazy person would say.
That's funny. That's funny. It is funny. Okay, so we want to talk about, speaking of crazy people, pickup artists.
Oh, gosh.
This is going to go into the next segment, but go ahead. What are they, and why should we care?
Well, okay. So, I mean, I really hate to call someone out like this, but it's a fellow that's kind of in the movement, the anarchy movement. He's a compassionate anarchist.
Anarcho-capitalist voluntarist movement.
Yeah, anarcho-capitalist voluntarist movement. And he wrote an article, a blog post recently, and it's called How to Seduce Libertarian Women and Secure a Black Market Romance.
What does he say? Give me the synopsis. I didn't read it. It sounded ridiculous.
In my opinion, he definitely references the methodology of pickup artistry, and there's kind of like
get in their pants.
Well, yeah, basically emotionally manipulating them, not being perfectly honest of their intentions, and doing things like ignoring them, how does he put it? He says, making himself like not a suitable partner, like making him or potential suitor. That's what it is. That a man, here's one thing he says, therefore a man should always disqualify himself as a potential suitor. And the reason for that is because he says that women are attracted to what they believe they cannot have. And yeah, so, so act as disinterested as you can, I guess, in a way, but not completely disassociating yourself from the person that you're.
Is this guy Sterling Luxon? Is that his name?
It's Luhan, but yeah.
Yeah, Luhan.
It's who?
Yeah. Luhan, yeah.
That's how you say it?
Luhan, yeah.
Who is this joker? I've never heard of him.
Well, no, he writes some really great stuff. Like I've enjoyed everything. Most everything that I've read that he's written, but I was just kind of really put off by this. Most mature women,
used car salesman.
And I don't mean old women. I mean mature, like emotionally mature women would not be attracted to this methodology.
He's got gray hair, and he looks like a used car salesman.
Yeah. I mean, my thing, like Jeremy and I were talking about this,
Jeremiah.
And I was just like, Jeremy and I were talking about this, and, I was just saying, okay, so if a guy is trying to get my, my attention by acting disinterested, I'm moving right along. Like that, that's just like, that's not going to get me. If you don't act like you're interested, I don't care. I'll see you later. Bye, Felicia.
Apparently, I'm friends with him on Facebook.
I actually am friends with him.
Me too.
He's got a lot of pictures of him with the same girl for a pickup artist.
I'm
sure
it's his wife, and that's how he picked her up.
Okay, is he still picking up other girls?
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
I know.
I'm not violently committed.
was watching the clock.
So Jeremy, as a single anarchist man, what do you think about this PUA stuff?
Makeup artist stuff.
What is your opinion?
Well, first and foremost, as we were going into the break and, you know, bashing my friend. He is my friend.
We're not bashing him.
I know.
Strongly disagree with this whole PUA thing, for sure.
I'm into violent communication.
Like, he, at least in the article, he did not go into the more egregious actions of some of the PUA people that I've met in the past.
Hey, donate Bitcoin to this guy. He's got a Bitcoin thing, and I checked his Bitcoin address. It's only ever received $8 worth of Bitcoin. So step up your game, Liberty.
Seriously, he does a lot of he does a lot of good work in the field of psychology.
He does, absolutely. Yeah.
But as the pickup industry as a whole, like, he explains that this is what he used to be years ago. He was, and he does. He explains that that's how he met his wife, and that's how he picked her up.
The stuff is so sick, man. And not about him. I don't know if he's doing the classic stuff, but
you know, that's what I'm saying.
Classic pickup artist stuff is so twisted to me.
Yeah, it's manipulative, and I'm not a big fan of that. I mean, I've talked about it before, and it gets
back when I was sleeping with any woman I wanted to. This kind of stuff didn't exist, or if it did, I didn't know about it. And it was like, basically what I did was made women laugh and also communicated a lot too. Like, I used to write snail mail letters to women.
Being in a band didn't hurt either.
I didn't have to write letters after I was in a band.
Yeah. Just, you know, I mean, and it was
being in a great band that was popular, by the way.
One of the commenters,
being in a band does not get you some.
One of the commenters on this post though was talking about, initially he was talking about, and I agreed with this, my suggestion to most men is to invest in themselves, don't obsess over sex or women. I agree with that. But then this guy goes so far as, like, the older you get, the less attractive women truly are. And he just kind of goes into, like, just dissing women. He's like, most women are ugly somehow. If they aren't ugly outside, they're ugly inside.
I disagree with that, but I do agree with the part of as you get older, women are less attractive. I'm 52, and a woman has to have, and I'm married, very happily married for like 10 years now and been with her 11 years. For me to pay attention to a woman, to even want to converse with her, she has to be as interesting as a guy would have to be.
Well, yeah.
There's no like game going on between me and women to the point where, like, you have to be, put it this way. If you are a friend of mine and you're a woman, you've got something worthwhile, because I'm not, you know, I read some of this stuff on Facebook. It really disgusts me. Like, an attractive woman, the comments she gets, you know, I'm not talking about like the, hey, baby, take off your, you know, like, not the like stuff that would get people blocked, but stuff that like some women even kind of feed on. Like, they put up a picture of themselves where they're feeling particularly attractive that day, and like, you know, 100 guys they don't even know are like, oh, you're so beautiful and radiant. And like, I want to barf. I want to barf when I read that stuff, man. Like, what's in your head? What can you do for my radio show? That's what I'm
going to do. Thirst is real.
The thirst is real.
What's that mean? The men drooling?
Guys yes. Like pretty girls, especially if they're like pretty libertarian or anarchist girls.
And I still have a sex drive, but I don't like pretty girls. I don't care. Don't care.
Yeah. I mean, but like, and that's what you're saying, is that a woman posts a particularly attractive picture of herself and she gets all these comments and everything. And it's nothing to do with like who she actually is. It's just what she looks like in this picture, you know? Yeah. And, but yeah, I mean, I agree with that. Like, I do think that, I mean, you got to bring more to the table than just your looks, for sure. Like, there's no doubt about that. Like, for me anyway, like, you know, what attracts me to men is far more like what you were saying, Michael, is that if you can make me laugh and you can make me think, like, you, that's, yeah, you, you're
your
like
pants
more
just
than,
come off.
I wouldn't go that far. Not immediately, anyway.
I've looked at the pickup artist stuff, and it really disgusts me. You know, the general, I don't know if this is his thing. I didn't read his thing. I didn't have time, but
yeah,
you know,
he talks about gaming his wife. Like he actually said that. And,
yeah. That's where I kind of, I mean, I'm going to have a talk with him because I'm just like, I don't get that, man. That's,
you know, what's kind of funny. Like I don't think I did do anything like that, but my wedding was really strange. My wife and I got married at the courthouse at a courthouse in Southern California, and like the justice of the peace that married us was like, okay, you, Michael, so you've schemed and scammed and gotten this woman into your life, and she fell for it. Like, it was bizarre. We were laughing, but it was kind of uncomfortable and weird. Yeah.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Cell 411 is a free app for Android and iOS that replaces government-controlled 911. Cell 411 allows you to preset a group of friends or private organizations to show up in any emergency. Cell 411 is a nightmare for the state because it proves their so-called services aren't needed. Cell 411 has had thousands of installs, and of course it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Cell 411, because your friends won't shoot you when you're in trouble. Without the government, who would build the emergency services? You and Cell 411. Get it today at GetCell411.com. That's GetCell411.com.
Yeah. Freedom Fiends.
Woof, woof.
So, how many sex partners have you guys had?
What?
I've slept with 176 women, 5 men, and a dog. I'm kidding about the dog, but
it was definitely less than that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure mine's less than that too.
Pretty sure.
Hey, prude. Pretty sure.
Yeah. Just kidding. It was definitely less than that.
The one thing that I've read about the kind of like, you see, I didn't know what this pickup artist stuff was. So I asked Jim Jesus a couple years ago, and he's not a pickup artist type guy, but he's, although the ladies like him, but he's my go-to guy for explaining the memes of the youth to me and the pop culture stuff, because he knows about all of it.
LLJJ. So
yeah, so he explains to me. The one thing that the pickup artist thing that I think does ring true in a lot of, like, it's an observation that I think is true in a lot of situations, is that I think this is more of a MGTOW observation or a men's rights movement observation. Mm-hmm. But they all kind of, those Venn diagrams all kind of like touch a little bit with pickup artists in some way. Also, a bunch of people that have shot a bunch of people have been pickup artist aficionados who weren't good at it. Like that kid in San Diego. But
San Diego,
the thing that I've read that makes, or that Jim told me, or, and then I went and read, that makes sense to me, is that there are a lot of women who want to sleep with and party with the alpha male. And then when they get tired of that, and when they get a little less attractive, or a little older, or a little less, I guess what they call like marketable, they use that term, they have like point values they assign in math and all this stuff. But so then when the women like get done partying with all the alpha males, they want to settle down and they marry a beta male who, you know, they'll throw him a little sex once in a while and he'll work hard at a day job and support her kids. And then often when the kids are, you know, teenagers or 18 or 19 or around there, she will divorce him and take all his money. And this happens. I've seen it happen. It certainly didn't happen with me. If anything, I was the alpha male back in the day in that equation. I didn't get married till I was 43. And my wife was very aware that I was had a vasectomy and didn't make much money when she married me. So I'm definitely not that guy. Yeah. I'm still like, you know, I'm still kind of the, hey, like the party dude, you know, who doesn't do the drugs, but still can be wild and crazy, I guess.
You're still fun and interesting.
I'm weird. F me, I'm weird. You ever seen that t-shirt? That's a t-shirt. F me, I'm weird.
I like that.
I know. So, anyway. And a lot of the women I slept with were attractive, too. It's not, you know. And that's back when women weren't all loose, like now.
All loose?
Yeah, all loose.
Are you slut shaming?
I'm actually doing the opposite. I'm saying that sexual mores with society have changed over the decades. And yeah. All right. Yeah. So, Jeremy, you want to comment?
I was going to say you can't really be slut shaming if you're making them all be sluts, because then they're not sluts anymore. They're all that's just the norm.
Guess what?
Yeah.
Women like sex too.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah, well, see, I don't know, but see, that's the. I mean, what you were saying though about the MGTOW guys and like, or people like that, I guess, because they take the ones that take it to the extreme. Like they seem to, I don't know, blatantly overlook the men on the other side who do pretty much the exact same thing, whore around for a while, then end up with like, you know, a decent looking woman and have some kids, and then, you know, have a midlife crisis and run off and leave her and the kids. It happens both ways, but right, they act like they're the oppressed ones. So I, you know what, I'm sorry. it happens to everybody, man. Deal with it, man. MGTOW, up
I can kind of see some of the MGTOW thing, like the I said something tonight that was something that a MGTOW would say, but I'm also married, and the rule is you can't be married and be a MGTOW, so I'm not in their club. But the thing I said about, like, you know, if you're a woman and you want me to talk to you, you damn well better be interesting, you know.
Bring it.
Your looks aren't gonna make it with me,
right?
And that's a very MGTOW thing to say.
Well, I mean, and I think that's true. I mean, looks only go so far. So
Jim Jesus has described himself as MGTOW with benefits too. yeah
doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. Sounds like something Jim would say.
For people who don't know, MGTOW is a movement called Men Going Their Own Way. The horrible acronym is MGTOW. I actually kind of like it. I think it's kind of funny sounding. Mm-hmm. But
it sounds like Chinese or something.
It does. MGTOW. But it's basically like, you know.
That's racist.
That is racist.
That's racist.
I'll meet you at the Diarrhea Dragon in Casper. No. We'll discuss it.
Never gonna be able to eat any of
Diarrhea Dragon. Yeah. Oh man.
Anyway. The horrible timing. One of the dogs just let one loose as you said that too.
Oh no. Man,
farted?
Yes.
Dog parts are the worst.
The timing of talking about the Diarrhea Dragon and then come on,
man. Clean it up. Let's change the subject and talk about Trump. Oh, wait. So, what did you want to say about Trump? What did he do to you? Show me on the doll where he touched you, Jeremy.
Well, he, of course, what was this, earlier today, I guess. I'm sure there's a tweet somewhere too about this too, but he had a Facebook post where, you know, all about the, you know, him feeling bad about the cops, or actually, I guess this was earlier today. Yeah. Grieving.
He blamed Obama.
And yes, of course he blames Obama for the, you know, not.
The lack of leadership in our country.
You know, Obama's done a lot of horrible things, and I do blame him for a lot of things, but I don't know if some of our older. He's a whoremonger?
Oh, a whoremonger.
Yeah. But there's a thing. I don't know if all our listeners are aware of this, the radio listeners especially, but there's a thing that people post on the internet of thanks Obama when it's nothing to do with Obama,
right,
as a joke. You know, like,
yeah.
You know, school shooting in Casper, man kills teacher with bow and arrow. Thanks Obama.
I stubbed my toe running to catch the postman. Yeah. Thanks, Obama.
Yeah. I mean, the guy is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink, but he is responsible for much of the ill in the world, but not all of it. And he's, although he's probably responsible for Trump being the GOP contender, I would say, somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somehow. So
it's,
Trump
it's backlash.
Trump's insane. Yeah. Trump's a sociopath. And I'm going to say it now before he's president, because once he's president, he's going to make it illegal to have the First Amendment. I really believe it.
Alien and Sedition Acts Part 3.
Yeah. If he doesn't, Hillary will. She actually, do you know about her, like, trying to get some comedians YouTube videos removed for making fun of her?
And
they
were like
Democrats. They were like California liberals who were like, you know, gently making fun of her. And she sent her goons, or her goons on their own, like her inner circle goons, like went to the comedy club and threatened them.
Wow. Yeah.
So anyway, Trump.
Trump. Yeah, some of these comments are pretty funny.
Segwaying from dog farts to Trump.
I say it's a pretty apt seamless. Segue. Seamless. Completely seamless. Yeah.
It is.
Oh, jeez.
We call our cats cat fart. We also call our cats F Weasel. I can't say it all in the air, but that's a great name for a cat, man. You F Weasel.
You totally see the segment of the population who support Trump and like their level of intelligence when you read the comments on this post as well.
Read some. Okay. Give me a few choice examples.
All right, so here's one. It's like, we need you, Mr. Trump. I blame this on Obama because he repeatedly condemns officers as racists. He never defends them. Instead of accusing them of killing innocent black men, he should be condemning anyone who kills a police officer. I'm sure he will blame this on guns, not where it belongs. Blah blah. Yeah.
Oh, but he has condemned the people who shot him. And that's it. Like every time, this is something I think is hilarious: is how every time there's anything bad happens in the world, world leaders have to comment on it. It's part of their job. Like, you know, Obama saying, like, we condemn the person in France who ran the truck through the crowd of people, and our hearts and minds, our prayers are with their families. Like,
condemn the truck.
I know they got to ban trucks, but
right.
That's the thing, too. Like, you know, people like Trump, they're like, all the politicians are talking about needing law and order. That's code word for we need to throw more of you in jail. For we need to throw people in jail for thought crime. It really is. Right. It goes back to the first place I heard it. I mean, I was too young. I was four. But 1968, you know, I heard about it later. 1968, Democratic convention in Chicago, where like the mayor just sent the police in to just beat the hippies bloody, the protesters.
Mm-hmm.
And think about that. That's back when hippies were anarchists. They were protesting the Democrats as well as the Republicans back then. Now, like what they figured out was like, you know, eventually it was put a black guy in there and all the hippies will vote for him. Like, and he'll be, but Obama's the man. Obama's just like all the white men, but worse. Right. And he's only worse because every president is worse than the last president. You know, the next president could be, you know, I don't know.
It's going to be worse.
A transgendered white man, woman. And he'd be worse.
Here's another one. Mr. Trump, please save our country. We're all behind you. I think we need to start impeaching Barack Hussein Obama before anarchy happens.
I love it. Anybody that puts his middle name when they say his name, they're nuts. They're still looking for the birth certificate.
Oh, here's another one. Here's another one. As a former California sheriff, this is one of my favorites. I hope that there will be enough time in law enforcement training for survival tactics. I think if you do your research, I think that is a majority of their training is for survival tactics.
There's no way. Yeah. There's no way to stop the killings. And there's the only way to stop it is to stop killing, for the cops to stop killing people. Mm-hmm. It's tragic that people are killing cops, but it's not going to stop as long as they're killing people. There's just no way. And even if they could take all the guns away, which they can't, there are trucks, you know, as we've seen. Are we out?
Yep.
We're
on our way out. We're going to talk about Mr. Robot when we talk back. Come back. Mr. Robot, the TV show. Mr. Robot,
yep.
Spoiler alert.
Arms.
I'm sorry I said this guy has gray hair. That was ageist. I'm way older than him, though.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you tired of going to Liberty events only to meet higher fees and diminishing attendance? Is it troubling that your banners have to be approved by the Libertarian Central Planners? Are you tired of seeing your friends physically removed because they said something edgy? Hey, that's none of my business. Then you should check out the Jackalope Freedom Festival night event at Baca Meadows in the cooler part of northern Arizona. Meet Liberty Activists, listen to talks, have a beer with Hoppy, score some free Freedom Fiends merchandise, camp under the stars, and fight the state with delicious Navajo tacos. And the best part is that there's no fees or libertarian general scrutinizes. Check out jackalopefreedomfestival.com for more information and directions. Runs from August 1st through 8th. That's jackalopefreedomfestival.com.
Okay.
Yeah. That went out.
Yeah, but I know it went out. It's okay if you know it.
Okay.
It's okay if it sounds like college radio that's like, you know, not paying attention to what it's doing, if you're paying attention to what you're doing. That's what I'd go for.
Okay.
Kind of like how the Rolling Stones are still sounding a bar band.
That's true.
Like, they're like the tightest loose band in the world, or the loosest tight band in the world. Something like that. All right. So, speaking of loose... my wife, no. Okay.
Whoa.
Well, you know, we all had our times before we met each other. And then we looked at each other and said, you're the one. I like Kokesh's suggestion with finding the libertarian woman of your dreams is find the woman of your dreams and then make her a libertarian. That's the easiest way, because really there's only like three single libertarian women left in the world, and Diana's one of them. So guys, she's single. But no, when I met my wife 11 years ago, I was a lazy non-voting Democrat, and she was a lazy, barely voting and usually not voting small government Republican who read a lot of Robert Heinlein. She voted for Ronald Reagan.
Okay.
Yeah. My wife voted for Ronald Reagan.
How dare she?
Yeah, I would have died before I vote for Ronald Reagan. But you know, I probably voted for who was run? Who
Dukakis
was,
wasn't the new one?
Yeah, someone worse, some gun grabber. I don't know. I did vote for Nancy Pelosi at one point in my life when I was living in San Francisco for something.
That's pretty bad.
That's pretty bad. And the Freedom Fiends is my amends to the world for that. So I don't vote anymore too. But yeah, and like, you know, we kind of like taught each other and learned as we went along. And
yeah,
about 6 years ago, 7 years ago, we were both full on voluntarist, anarcho-capitalist gun nuts. And then we lost all our guns in a voting accident. Okay, so spoiler alert, we're going to talk about... Mr. Robot.
Yep.
And I did use that right. A lot of time people say spoiler alert on TV and radio when there's nothing to spoil. It's funny. Like, spoiler alert, you know, coming up next, spoiler alert, your electric bill may be too high. That's not, you're not, I want to know that. You know, like you're not spoiling it.
Yeah, you're not spoiling anything. Right.
Yeah, so tell us about the TV show Mr. Robot.
It's
the second season now. We like it. Jeremy... Do you just sit there and think about what you did by not watching Mr. Robot yet, Jeremy?
Yes, I will. I'll go sulk in the corner and...
Okay. So, Diana, tell us about it.
Yeah, okay. So, I'm just going to read from the Wikipedia article real quick. Yeah. So, Mr. Robot is an American drama thriller television series created by Sam Esmail. It stars Rami Malek as Elliot Alderson, a cybersecurity engineer and hacker who suffers from social anxiety disorder and clinical depression. And I would say that he probably suffers from also dissociative identity disorder as well. Because, spoiler alert, he's recruited by an insurrectionary anarchist known as Mr. Robot, and is played by Christian Slater. And he actually turns out to
aptly
be his...
Aptly played.
He's so good. And he actually ends up being his dad. But
His dead dad.
But like for maybe a couple of episodes in the first season, he thought he was actually alive. But then he realizes that he's dead. And he realizes how crazy he really is. And well, now in this season... Yeah, go ahead.
This show is it's a lot like Fight Club, which is part of why I like it. It's part of my problem with it. And it's become more like Fight Club in this season. The ways it's like Fight Club. Okay. The main character is what's called an unreliable narrator. Like what mm-hmm. you're seeing that he's seeing isn't necessarily what's going on.
Right.
He has an imaginary friend, like in Fight Club.
Yeah.
The imaginary
exactly
friend,
like that. Yeah.
Like bullies him into mm-hmm. doing this mission he's supposed to be doing. The mission in both Mr. Robot and Fight Club is to erase the credit debt for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of hackneyed that they're, I mean, that's exactly the plot in yep. Fight Club. I still love the show, but
absolutely, yeah, it's very
it's so much like Fight Club, man.
And it's and there's definitely anarchic themes to the
leftist
to the show.
Leftist
anarchic, exactly. I'm you know thinking much more anarcho-communist in nature for sure. But yeah. I mean, it definitely has some awesome, like just I don't know, some awesome messages.
You know what?
As well,
the thing about ANCOMs too, like I'll say, in reality, or like people who aren't 100% like me, I like people of action, even mm-hmm. if they're not 100% there. Like, who's, mm-hmm. I forget the guy's name, but there's a guy who was like worked for the NSA, not Snowden, but there's another guy that became a whistleblower and like risked his life, risked 100 years in prison, and is free now. But like, I saw an interview with him recently where he was like, he doesn't think the government needs to be dissolved. He thinks the NSA needs to be dissolved and there's no way to fix it. But I'll still take it. Like, that guy did more